welcome to the Building Texas Show. This week, we have a great honor to sit down with somebody that's made a big impact statewide in Texas, and I believe broader than Texas, but we'll focus on Texas today, and Texas tourism, and really the concept of destination marketing and understanding what is it that attracts people to different parts of our state, what's working well, what gets in the way of that sometimes. I think we're going to have a wide-ranging conversation about the entrepreneurial efforts of our municipalities, our counties, and really these people that are trying to attract more to their region. So Larry Woods is the current chair of the Texas Association of Convention and Visitor Bureau. Yes. You've got a few more weeks left in that role. You're handing over the keys to at a conference in Austin coming up in August. But in that role, help me understand, what do you look at when you come into a small town or a big town for that matter? What are you looking around to see that's going well?
You know, that's a really good question because I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to little cities and say, okay, what do these people have that we don't have? And when you start peeling back the onion, you realize we're really a lot alike.
Yeah.
We really are. And it's a good thing that these quaint little towns that are in the hill country and throughout the state of Texas have survived, especially, you know, through COVID, which kind of gave everybody a really big reset button. But I think the opportunities that lie in these small communities are a lot of collaboration that isn't taking place. You know, and the folks that I deal with are directors of convention visitors bureaus or DMOs, destination marketing organizations, that are hired to take something and move it and increase occupancies and average rate and local spending and what have you. But they lack the knowledge and how to do these things. So the thing that I really have focused on in my last 2 years as chairman of the board is giving them an opportunity to talk to somebody that's not in one of the bigger markets. You know, you can't call the head of Dallas, Visit Dallas or Houston. These guys are busy. These guys have budgets that are just insane. And or even some of the medium markets, Corpus Christi, Lubbock's, that do really, really well. But they take a look at the people that are in the same situation they are, and you start getting calls from city managers and city council people and saying, hey, how did you do this? You know, what was it that you needed to get this ball rolling? So as the chairman of the board, my last 2 years really has been focused on educating and sharing the things that we've done that have worked very, very well and have not worked well.
And you've been in this industry for 56 years now. I think it started as a boat captain somewhere, but you've seen it evolve. You have watched Texas really become a tourism magnet.
Yes.
And where did that start? What really created that energy?
In 1967, my father had the opportunity to take over the boat operation on the Riverwalk in downtown San Antonio. It just so happened that the owner of Casa Rio and Shiloh's in the boat operation had met my father, liked him, and came in one day, and I was with my dad and said, hey, Don, the World's Fair is coming. We need to get prepared for it. I like you. Will you take over the boat operation? And he did, right in front of me. He accepted the job. 3 days later, I came home after my dad started, and I found instructions on a big chief tablet written in pencil on what buses to take to get me downtown. And I found out I had a full-time job. Yeah. I wasn't looking for one, but I quickly found out that I had a full-time job. Every day after school, every weekend, building new boats. I became the paddle boat king at the age of 13. I couldn't drive a boat, but I rented the paddle boats. And I quickly realized all these people come here every weekend, every day, dress nicely, having fun. They're spending gobs of money, and then they leave. And I thought, this is fascinating. This is, I want to do this. And it got to the point where I'd have a boat, and I'd have 20 or 22 people on it, and I'd say, yeah, let me ask you a question. How many days are you going to be here? Oh, three or four. Well, how much money are you going to spend? Oh, about $150 a day. And I look at a boat of 20 people, and I go, my God, we're sitting on a gold mine right here. You know, how does this happen? And so I got very intrigued, and I started working very closely with the Chamber of Commerce in downtown San Antonio, the Convention Visitors Bureau. I started, you know, haunting them. I was in their face all the time. And then I realized that by doing this, I needed to learn more about where I was at and why San Antonio was the attraction that it was. So I spent a lot of time at the library learning about the Riverwalk and the history of San Antonio and why do people want to come here? Yeah. And that's how it all started. And I ended up working for my dad for 12 years and managing the business. And then I had the opportunity to go to work for Le Monchillon Hotels as the entry-level sales guy. And 5 years later, I was vice president of the company.
What a testament to the entrepreneurial spirit you had at that age. Yeah. To really go in, and what I hear is you're assessing the market, you're doing market research, you're validating your ideas, and then you're converting that into something that today, 50 years later, you're leading these conversations, you're helping other DMO, destination marketing offices, understand best practices and why. And that's a clean, sustainable economic impact for a city, a county, a region. When tourism comes in, they're not leaving a big footprint.
No.
They're not using a lot of water,
nope.
Industrial water or anything like that. What's the downside? Where do we see the difficulty in Texas getting, I'm not going to say people, but structures and entities to understand that that is a great source of income?
I think we're, as an industry, we have fallen short. I have. And then I looked at our association. And I asked myself 2 years ago when I started as chairman of the board, which was totally unexpected, and I said, you know, what is it that I can bring to the table, or what is it that I can help lead others behind me to learn that I think are very important? And I think we have, I found out as I got older, I'll be 71 here pretty soon, is I really feel like I have a responsibility to do this and look at folks and say, okay, what is it I can do to help you? How can I help you not make the mistakes that I did? But I also want to try to open your mind to doing things differently. You know, we meet every Monday in my office. We have a strategic plan that I think is just fabulous.
Yep.
We don't stick it in a drawer. We look at it all the time with my assistant director. And after I write one, I ask this question: what can we do to screw this up?
That's a good balancing question.
It is. Yeah. And you know what it is? Be complacent.
Yeah.
You know, I said, I do not want to be complacent. I think we need to look at everything that we're doing, and if it's working, how you know, our city manager I love, and Ben Thatcher, he challenges us all to do 1% more. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, my God, you know, we're doing enough. And you go, no, there's 2 or 3% out there still to be had. So I've always just looked at things that way.
When we think about the income and the measurement, I think mentioning Ben, the city manager, mm-hmm. a city manager, in my mind, would look at the role that your organization, Visit Bernie, is playing and say, how do I measure success?
Right.
Y'all have some great data on impressions.
Right.
You in 10 years, I think you've gone from just under a million in year one to 16 billion is the number I read for last year. Yeah. That's getting our message out a lot. And wide, but there's still a local understanding of, well, what is that bringing in? 16 billion impressions. What is that result for a city when they're out there marketing themselves that way?
You know, I guess it's just because of experience that I'll bring my staff together. I said, I think we're about 2 weeks away from somebody on Main Street, chamber or local businesses saying, why is business down? And I have to be able to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk to the Texas Restaurant Association all the time. I talk to people. I spend most of my time on the phone finding out what is going on in the state of Texas and trying to stay ahead of some trends and things that are happening. And, you know, again, we collect this hot tax from the hotels. It's mandated by the state that you can do this.
The hotel occupancy tax.
Tax. Yeah. We have to spend that in certain ways. And I want to make sure that we're doing the best and most responsible things with that. If you own a little shop on Main Street, downtown Bernie, Texas, you don't have the big marketing dollars. You don't have a full-time social media person. And we make ourselves available. You know, my marketing person is just magnificent. Tori does an amazing job. And she makes herself available to teach people how to get on social media, how to sell their products, how to do things. So we go way beyond just that. You know, yeah. I feel like it's our responsibility to do those sort of things. And I'm a weird individual in the fact that I feel like there's an abundant world of business out there.
Yeah.
There really is. Even during COVID, there was plenty of business out there. Our goal was this, number one, let's stay employed.
Yeah.
Number one. And I've been fortunate in the last 14 years to belong to a 10-member think tank that isn't, it's privately held. I don't get paid to do it. But I've got a major wine manufacturer there. I've got one of the major hotel owners in it. I tell people I'm the only working stiff in the group, and I kind of like it that way. But we sit down and look at trends, and when COVID came, one of the ladies in the group said the most fascinating thing. She said, travel is a luxury that Americans aren't willing to give up. And regardless of what is going on in the country, they have the need to get in their car and go somewhere. She said, Larry, in your small town, numbers are going to be smaller. People are going to feel safer. It's a quaint little city, and I think you just do not need to stop advertising and marketing, which is, I agree with, but then you go, okay, where's the money going to come from to do this? And luckily, I worked for some folks, city managers, and staff, to go, keep doing what you're doing. Let's keep these shops open. Let's keep, you know, it's not a heads in the beds. It's seats in the cheeks, or yeah. Cheeks in the seats, and people on the street. I mean, it's people doing everything in your downtown. And during COVID 2020, we ran 41% occupancy, did almost $10 million in business, where most cities were doing 10s and 20s. You know, we came out. It was a good opportunity to reset and think about how we were doing things and how we were going to challenge the next 5 years. I always look 3-5 years ahead, and I'm doing that right now.
Well, and COVID was interesting for us, and I can speak to our city a little bit. We saw an up. We saw what y'all did worked, and yeah. We saw that carry. But now there's a fatigue, right? Mm-hmm. That COVID bump happened.
Right.
But now I see the retail numbers and some retailers on this city and other cities as well. They're saying it's coming back down. Now we have different macro pressures, whether it's inflation or jobs or whatever it is. But you always have to evolve. I've heard you tell a story about Hurricane Harvey, right. where you knew the hurricane was coming in. It was going to impact a significant amount of planned travel already to our area, but y'all pivoted and marketed differently.
40% of our customers come from Harris County.
Houston.
Okay, yeah. They're wiped out. Corpus Christi, another 15%. They're wiped out. That was on a Friday. I called everybody in on Saturday. And yeah. They were kind enough to show up, and I said, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I said, everybody that comes here is trying to survive. So we pulled everything. I called every advertiser and said, hey, sorry, and they understood that. I said, yeah. Let's focus north from Austin to New Mexico, up to Waco. Yep. And we started running ads in movie theaters every day, all day long, and IMAX theaters. And my God, it just paid off so very well because those people couldn't go to Houston and Galveston and Corpus Christi. They were looking for somewhere to go. And we did really, really well. And it's because we have strategic plans and advertising schedules and marketing and analysis that show us we know where the people that come here live, what they drive, how much money they make, why they come here, how long they stay. We have so much data and analytics that it's a shame not to use it. And we really, really rely on it.
Well, and when you say that, it makes me think about the role I play in my day job with Dust Greenhouse and the mm-hmm. entrepreneurial segment of our community that are really looking for that target customer data. Who is it? If I think of a small retailer, who is coming to Bernie? How do I attract? Because they have social media teams too that they're less sophisticated and coming in trying to find those same people. How do we marry those two together? I like what you said about your staff doing some best practices mm-hmm. and working with retailers, but it is a complex market when you're attracting visitors and tourists. Mm-hmm. They're trying to attract. How do we play that together?
Because it's funny because when you look at who are competitive, I immediately built a competitive set. I said, okay, we're going to leave San Antonio out of it because we're too close.
Yeah.
You know, so my competitive set is Bandera, Kerrville, Fredericksburg, New Braunfels, and San Marcos. And I said, this is our competitive set, and this is who we're going to compare ourselves to. So how can I prove to our city manager, my city council and folks, that Bernie with 656 rooms is doing better than San Marcos or New Braunfels that has 2,300 rooms or 3,000 mm-hmm. rooms. So I got with my assistant director and I said, we need to develop a formula for fair market share. And so you can look and see right here that our fair market share is 5.99. And this quarter or this year, we were at 6.22. So we've always been third in our market. New Braunfels and Frexburg are always just a little bit ahead of us. But this last time, we moved up one notch. We're number two now. So we keep just picking at this thing, saying, okay, we know where the business is.
Yeah.
And it goes back to a theory, back to the 1%, 2%, or 3%. When I used to go into a bankrupt hotel, I took one over in Newport Beach, California. Gorgeous 30-year hotel, right across from John Wayne Airport, bankrupt. But around us were five other hotels that were just killing it.
Yeah.
And I said, why? Why is this happening? So I fired basically everybody in sales and hired a whole new sales staff. And I said, all I want is 2% from those five people. Mm-hmm. They'll never know 2%'s gone. We're not going to go after their big accounts. I want their little accounts. And if I get that, we're 10% up. We can raise our rate. And we took this hotel out of bankruptcy in a year and a half and sold it for just a gob bunch of money. So my same thing is, you know, we're surrounded by people that have a great product just like us. We got the cowboy capital of the world. We
yep.
got a city with 60 wineries and 400 stores downtown. We got another one that's got Guadalupe River, that cowboy museum of art. And, you know, we've all got something. So I did a practice once that I kind of shook. I thought this is either going to be the best thing I've done or probably going to get fired. And so I went to the University of Texas and found the director, the professor that teaches marketing. And he either felt sorry for me or really liked me. He ended up adopting me for their curriculum.
Oh, wow.
For one semester. And they tore me apart. I mean, they looked at everything that I did, marketing, advertising, social media, this and that and that. They looked at it. Then they went to my competitors and did the same thing. And then they called me and my staff in and said, here's what we think. You're the front door. You're the first opportunity into the Hill Country. And we changed our name and we did a lot of analysis. And we came up with a mission statement that's still the same. We came up with a vision statement that's still basically the same. We haven't changed who we are or what we're doing or why we do it. What we have to change is how we present ourselves to the different markets that are available and do it at the most effective way as far as money is concerned or what have you.
I've thought that the elevated Hill Country experience tagline is really good for Bernie.
And it came after during COVID.
Yeah.
It used to be Bernie as unique as our name.
Yeah.
Nobody could say it, spelled it, or what have you, but there was no call to action or it didn't tell you anything about Bernie. So through COVID, we sat around for 3 days and just beat ourselves up and said, okay. We called Joe Granados, who was just appointed as my board chair. He came in with one other board person, and we said, if you look at the restaurants, the hotels, the shops, everything in the last 3 years has been elevated. We don't have any shops that sell coonskin caps and bumper stickers.
Yeah.
You know, go to Frexburg or Bandera Way. But we got great food, great places to stay, high-end shopping, good furniture. You can buy some. We had, I just right at about the time of COVID, I had ESPN in San Antonio, and they called me and they said, hey, we want to come to Bernie and do a story on you guys. So I had four people from New York City, and I took them around town for 2 days, and we went into Bichon's. Mm-hmm. And the young lady from New York said, oh my God, that's a Chanel dress.
It's like Tiffany's in the Hill Country.
And she went, she said, that's a $4,000 Chanel dress. I said, well, of course. You can buy one here. Yeah. You know, and I said, yeah, sure, we do. And they were just blown away at the quality of the goods and services and the fact that people really care and about what we have and what we're selling.
You know, as I look at this page in front of me, and I really appreciate the formula that you're using, you have a measurable success metric that you can go out and say, here's how we compare to the market. But what jumps off the screen to me is 656 rooms versus Fredericksburg, Kerrville, New Braunfels, San Marcos, they're all almost 2,000 plus. I mean, New Braunfels at 3,600. Mm-hmm. In my mind, that's a lot more capacity.
Right.
And I don't think our town necessarily wants more capacity, but there's a balance. And I think of some of our areas in the county where they don't have capacity as much, or they don't, it's not as visible. Let's say it that way. It's a balance of where do you make the investments, the strategic investments that are going to bring the tourism.
We don't need 2,000 rooms. We don't need 1,000 rooms right now. Before COVID, we had somebody really kicking the tires on a hotel bigger than the Bevy, and it wouldn't work. I ran the numbers, and having been on the hotel side for 30 years, I could run the numbers and do a feasibility study and know that, one, the cost of land wasn't going to make it attractive, and what that, if bringing a bigger hotel, would do to the rest. of the market. You know, when you bring somebody like that, something else is going to fall off. Mm-hmm. And I think we owe it to the people that have invested in the city and have stuck with this for so many years to reap the benefits of, you know, what good marketing, advertising, and getting the word out can do. And they're happy. I tell you, the funniest thing in the world, and people can attest to it, is when we announced the Bevy Hotel, the hotels in town started having clandestine meetings, and they went to the mayor and said, we need to fire Larry and get somebody here that knows the industry. And they said, you obviously don't know the guy. But they hadn't listened.
Yeah.
You know, the term, all, you know, ships rise together. And they do. And my job in my relationship with the hoteliers, I think, has never been better. They understand me. They're on my board. Many of them are. They understand that it's not just about them.
Yeah.
It's about the city. You know, we can bring, you know, big stuff to the city. The Bevy certainly helped. And I think that's going to be it for a while.
That makes sense. But the Bevy has helped in such a way. It gave us new assets for, like, convention center, like a bigger meeting place that our community didn't have before that.
Right.
That I've seen it attract so many different organizations and operations. It's right on the highway. It's low impact.
Yep.
And it's been a huge benefit. And so as cities look at that, they might be in a place where they don't need more hotels, but they might be in a place where they could really use the right hotel. And I think that's what the Bevy was. It's the right hotel to fit our culture, our city, and our immediate goals. It wasn't too big. It wasn't too small. It kind of fit. It seemed to really just fit the niche.
Well, and I think it'll do that for still for a few years to come.
Yeah.
You know, as they get settled in, and Ross and those guys do a great job over there. They're finding their way, and they're finding their niche, and the other hotels are learning how to work with them and capitalize on what they're doing. So, no, it's just been a really great addition. We have some really good hoteliers in town. Yeah. We really, really do. And they haven't always liked me, but I think
they're like, they're turning the corner.
I hope they're turning the corner. But I have a lot of respect for them.
Let's take it back to the state level and convention visitor bureaus.
Yes.
They go by a couple different names, tourism centers, visitor centers, et cetera. But they're always tied to a public entity, from what I can tell. So you, as director of Visit Bernie, you're a city employee.
I am.
For the city of Bernie, you fall under our ethics guidelines. You fall under all of the stipulations of a city employee. Mm-hmm. And you report to city council, which is,
city manager, but ultimately
responsible So CVB could be to a city, a municipality, a county. Are there other entities that would lead a CVB, or is there ever a place where it's private?
Sure, there are. There are not very many. What happened, and this started back in the 60s in the state, it's grown. A good example was, you know, the Chamber of Commerce in downtown San Antonio originally had the role of sending out letters and pamphlets and stuff like that. And our chambers, that's where it started out.
Yeah.
When Paula was there, they did a great job with it. But something grows beyond your capacity. And the Chamber of Commerce is a membership-driven organization. You have a thing called a CVB, Convention Visitors Bureau. It's funded by hot tax dollars. You need to keep the funds separate, which is, you know, easy and difficult at the same time, but it just gets to be too big. There has been a dynamic change, and it started, I guess, about 5 years ago, and it's really hitting stride now, and this is why we changed our name. We were never a Convention Visitors Bureau. We had no convention center.
That's right.
Before the Bev, we had no convention center. We still don't. We have a beautiful hotel that has beautiful meeting space.
Yep.
It's 15,000 square feet, can only hold so many people. So you can't bring a citywide in where you're going to use all the hotels. So we're not a convention center. So we as an industry, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, really started looking at it, and said what we really are is a destination marketing organization, a DMO. So I had gone, I took a couple of stabs at getting the name changed, and then I guess it was 2 years ago now. I guess we were doing a budget, and I said, "Hey Ben, I got an idea," and he goes, "We'll do it." So we went to city council. I explained why. And, you know, you look at Visit San Antonio, Visit Plano, Visit Kerrville, and we're all going that same route.
Yeah.
And it's helping in the education aspect of things, to understand where you fit. Now, San Antonio is Visit San Antonio, and it is a convention-generating entity. They have goals to book this many 100,000 hotel rooms a year for conventions. We don't have that. I looked at it and said, the best thing I can do for the city of Bernie as a DMO or the director of a CVB is put my largest efforts in reaching people that want to come here for leisure business. And you never know who your next guest and customer is going to be. You might have somebody that comes to Bernie, Texas, and that individual might be part of an antique car club or another group that they belong to and say, hey, we'd like to bring a small group of 50, 60, 70 people here. So, I have somebody on my staff that works with as a group coordinator and helps send out leads and stuff like that. But we don't place a lot of emphasis on that right now. My job, and I felt like after COVID and here out, is we've got to keep Bernie on the map. We've got to really set the world on fire. Our vision statement is to tell the world about Bernie. We didn't limit it to Texas or the United States. I want to tell the world about Bernie, Texas. And we're doing that. We're just chipping at it a little bit at a time. And it's working well. Our numbers are just phenomenal. I couldn't be more proud of the team that I have. We're very focused, very focused.
And I appreciate that you're data-driven in that way. You're making decisions that are right for our community. It'd be a different decision if the data was different in a different city. But that is part of the learning curve. So in this way, with the city and in the state of Texas, a city can have a master plan. And you mentioned earlier, you have a strategic plan, a master plan that says, here's what we're doing. Counties don't typically have those. And there's a big push from the Texas Association of Counties for counties to have a strategic plan. And when I do my work around county leadership, that election cycle can really reshift attention and focus from issues that one court looked at versus new issues or unseen issues or personal interest issues that come with a new court as they go through the learning curve of governance and understanding the role, because that is an elected official versus like a city manager is typically a professional that understands all the levers and why to do.
I look at it that we come together and when Ben came on board, he goes, I've never had a CVB before.
Okay.
I'm really going to need to depend on you to tell me what you do, why you do it, and what have you. And it was so much fun. And when he came on board, you're going to answer directly to me. We're going to meet every Monday. We did that twice. And I come with so much information.
Yeah.
And so he said, let's meet every other Monday. And then it went to once a month. And I go, about every 6 months. He goes, no, we're going to do this. But you come with information that shows what you're doing. And here's the thing I tell people about information. And I'm working with a young lady from up in North Texas. And she said, after meeting with me for 2 days, she went back and she goes, my numbers don't look so good. And I go, okay, that's all right.
The baseline.
It's somewhere to start.
Yeah.
But tell them what you're going to do to improve those numbers. Yep. And don't guess. We're not throwing darts at a board. Based upon the facts and the figures and what have you, and what you're bringing to the table, what are you going to be able to do? Because let's go back to the county and Comfort. If they started collecting this tax January 1, it's going to take 3 years to really ramp this thing up. Well, you're going to start seeing, some inroads and, trickling stuff like that, but you got to be consistent in what you do. And going back to the belief that there's an abundant world of business out there, I'm one of those folks, if we can't put it in writing and tell somebody how we're going to do it, why we're going to do it, who's going to do it, when it's going to be done by, it's not going to get done.
That is my biggest challenge with entrepreneurs in general, is they have this brilliant idea. They're on this path. They don't write it down. They don't make it actionable, and they don't validate it with data until they're really pushed to do it. But the entrepreneurial journey that I experience with entrepreneurs sounds very similar to the entrepreneurial journey that you're using to tackle this problem, not only in our local town, but statewide, influencing through mentorship and guidance. And it is the discipline and process. I love what you say about our county, 3 years, 5 years to build up the coffers.
Sure.
If we'd started 10 years ago,
oh my God.
This is a 20-year-old law where we could have done this way back then. Yeah. But I don't know that anybody was doing it. And even 20 years later, we're still hearing pushback on, is it a tax? How are people going to respond to it? Is it negative in any way, shape, or form? And I think those are good debates to have, but it's an education conversation that...
Yeah, I think you just have to put things in very plain English. And it was funny, 5 years ago when we moved into our new visitor center on Main Street, we were moving in on a Saturday, and this fella, this grouchy old guy, walks by and he goes, I want to see where my tax dollars are going. This is horrible. I said, it didn't cost you a dime.
Yep.
I said, this building was built with hotel occupancy dollars. It didn't cost you a dime. It doesn't cost you a dime to have me here. It doesn't. You know, thank God the state of Texas many, many years ago with Texas is a whole nother country. You know, putting Texas on the map as a destination and then saying, you know, we've got to help these small cities, medium cities, large cities find funds to generate incomes for these people. And it's there to be had. It doesn't cost you as a citizen here to have a dime, but it does save you money. It helps you buy more ambulances and firemen and everything else that you need.
It creates, in my mind, it creates buy-in and equity from our travelers that are coming in. They are leaving a little bit behind that goes into making our community better.
Right.
The use of the roads, the use of emergency services, all of those things have a place. And how it's distributed, the hotel occupancy tax funding, is highly regulated.
It's very regular. We're audited and looked at. I mean, the laws, I brought those laws here for you and to read, and you can keep those.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and they're very...
there's some rules in here.
There's a lot of rules, and again, Jeanette, my assistant director, has become a pretty good authority on these things. In fact, she just finished teaching... for her third year, hotel occupancy tax to entry-level people in this industry at Texas A&M to the hotel college. And I volunteered her to do this 4 years ago, and she's done a magnificent job, and she is my administrator for hot tax. So if somebody wants to know what the rules or regulations are, she's the person to go to, and she's teaching this to the industry now. And the Texas Hotel Lodging Association, Scott Joslow, president, is good friend. I've known Scott for 35 years, and we work very, very closely together. And, you know, I make sure that everything we're audited by the city of Bernie.
Yep.
First and foremost. And then the state of Texas looks at where we spend our money and how we spend our money. And it's some pretty strict stuff.
By statute.
Oh, it has to be.
But I also like that you have a board, and it's a citizen board. You mentioned Joe Granados earlier, and I know a few other people on there. I think there's a new chair coming in.
Yep.
Those are business owners and leaders that also go through city ethics training. They go through every stipulation that you as a city employee would undergo, short of an employment agreement. But from an ethics standpoint, those people are public officials in the city. They represent the city of Bernie leadership, and they're up there making decisions for the whole.
Right.
And I'm really hampering on the ethics side of it because they're like, oh, who gets to decide where this money goes? Mm-hmm. Well, it's a board of your peers that are really out there doing it well. And it's not an easy job to be that volunteer board member, but
no.
You challenge them on how do they select the right events to fund.
So the way it happens is we have a hotelier from a full service. So that's a mm-hmm. We have two short-term rental or a limited service on there. And then we have a short-term rental person. So we have four hoteliers that are on a board. And then we have restaurateurs, business owners downtown, people that have been established. We just got a new one of the retailers on our board. And we have very little turnover. We just took our board from 9 people to 7 people. But we go in front of them and show them everything that we're doing, the reason why, what the results are, what worked really well, what didn't work so well. And the thing that when somebody first comes on the board, they have to get in the mindset, this is a big picture thing.
Yeah.
It isn't about my little shop or my hotel singularly. It's about the whole city. And are we doing what we're responsible for doing? And, you know, I'm very proud of the fact, but we kind of laugh. I said, you know, our city manager likes us. The city council likes us. My board likes us. We've never been in this spot before. It's really kind of nice. But what happened to change that is we became even more data-driven, more report-driven, in showing them how we're doing against our competitors, and where we're going. Where do I think I can take this thing in the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah.
And it just, you have to be very open and honest about what you're doing. And, you know, I hate failing. I hate failing at anything. I'm just nuts about this. And I go, okay, what is it that they don't know this yet, but next week we're going to start looking, okay, what's the next big thing for us? What is it that everybody else is doing that we're not doing, or what can we do better that we can make a big difference in 24-25? So those are our challenges.
So when you look at 24-25, you already have events and dates mm-hmm. and everything planned in. You know that people are coming from countries around the world for these time periods. Mm-hmm. How do you start to, if you're a community that doesn't have hotel occupancy tax in place yet, right. and you don't have a convention visitor bureau or someone in a visit your town role, where do you start? What is it that a new judge or a city council person that doesn't have these tools yet, where would they go find more information and say, hey, is this something we should be doing?
That's a really good question. And it's picking up the phone and we have all gone somewhere.
Yeah.
Traveling through the state of Texas, or I'll use Asheville, North Carolina. Magnificent.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Oh yeah. My God. These people are fabulous at what they do. And you call somebody up and say, how'd you get here? When COVID started, I got a call from Lufkin, Texas.
Okay.
City councilman. And said, hey, would you do a Zoom meeting on how you put Bernie on the map? 45 minutes and then an hour with questions. He said, I think we'll probably have 15, 20 people. We ended up having 63 people on it all the way through Colorado and Oregon and what have you. And I said, this is how we did it. And got in really into the weeds, and my gosh, the phones just started ringing.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just a matter of saying, okay, we don't want to be like Fredericksburg, but how do you even begin to crawl?
Yeah,
you know, what do we need to do? I mean, I've lived in Bernie 31 years when, you know, the auto parts was on Main Street, and the two buildings next to it were empty.
Yeah,
and you caught the bus on Main Street. And, you know, nobody was downtown, and look what we are now. And I take very little credit, and that's why I have a job to do, and I take it very, very seriously. But the thing that I like doing is surrounding myself with people that are a lot smarter than I am. It sure pays off. And, you know, in going through this process and look at what we do, you know, a goal that I had for my staff, and there's three of us. I said, 2 years ago, I said, here's my goal for the next 3 years. I want to make y'all industry leaders.
Yep.
Okay. I want to take what you do, Tori, in marketing, advertising, social media, what have you, and I want you to teach it. Jeanette, I want you to teach hot tax. You know, Val is our historian, and she's done so much. And I said, we all have something to give and share. You don't look for anything in return other than the joy of doing that. But what you do is you propel yourself in the industry as a leader. And now they're being recognized for what they're doing. And I said, that keeps you in the game. That keeps you in the hunt. But it also keeps you honest.
Yeah.
You know, you really do. So, you know, I get Mineral Wells called me 6 months ago. And she said, I just took over as the director of the CBB in Mineral Wells. I'm a one office person. I don't know what to do. I said, come down for 2 days. For 2 days, she left with her head spinning with stuff. And she went back and started doing this. And I said, who hired you? City manager. How often do you meet with him? Well, I haven't met with him since he hired me. How long ago was that? 6 months. I go, you know you're going to get fired, right?
Yeah.
So why? I said, because you're not talking to him.
Yep.
You're not telling him what you're doing and why you're doing it. You're not telling him what your challenges are and where he can help you. You know, and she is killing it now. She has really just caught on fire. Same thing with Glen Rose, Texas, a young lady to help. So, you know, my big belief is when you're teaching, you're learning, because it makes you go back to basics and say, are we still doing this? Why did we stop doing this? Do we need to do more of this?
Yep.
So when we become teacher, we also become student. And we have really benefited from that practice that we've been doing for the last year and a half.
But what sage advice, and I think beyond your industry, it equates to any industry, is if you're not having that conversation regularly with your supervisor
right.
or your key stakeholders, you're not telling them the wonderful things that you are doing and backing it up with data and proof. And then here's where I am going. But you said a really important thing with how can they help you?
Exactly.
Going back and getting their buy-in and getting them to pull in. To me, and just thinking in this role, that's how you go out and you get your other people to get involved. It's how you get other industry partners to get involved. You're going to them, you're saying, here's the impact we're having on you. Here's where you can support us. Now we're collaborating.
Right.
We're talking.
Right.
And we're talking in a language that everyone can relate to, data and numbers.
You know, everybody wants to be on a winning team. And, you know, it's the old thing. You're not going to hit a home run unless you get up to bat.
Yeah.
And you're not going to hit a home run every time you go up there. But you got to get up there and swing a bunch. And my God, at 71s, I've taken a lot of swings, and I've had a lot of misses, but we've had a lot of fun doing it. And I think, you know, Bernie, my gosh, I think Bernie's just, you know, people are going to hate me for saying this. We're just primed for a lot of really good things to happen. You know, when I took over Tapatio Springs, there were, like, 12 houses out there.
Yeah.
You know, when I left 10 years later, there were 100 and some houses. Most of those people came from Houston. They come play golf there. Hey, this would be a great place to live.
Yeah.
Or invest in the community or do what have you. So I think our responsibility lies in many, many ways is that, one, we have to be honest about what we're doing and how we present ourselves. We have to be realistic in what we think our expectations are. We have to be sure that we carry as many people with us along the trail as we can. And there's always going to be the naysayers that, you know, think you're absolutely nuts and should be locked up in jail. But, you know, if you got enough people going with you and championing your cause, there's a checks and balance system that tells you, you know, whether you're doing the right thing or not. And again, I think right now we're in a good spot. I think the next 3 years to 5 years are going to be even better for the industry. I don't see, barring any other major catastrophe, I think we're in a pretty good position.
But in all of that, as you look at that forecast, you're ready to pivot.
Yes.
And you know those levers.
Yes.
And I think that's what I would want our city, county officials to understand, that there's people out there preparing for this. If you've got somebody in that seat.
We've never hired an ad agency. We've never had anybody to do our creative. We started, having been in the hotel business, I had the opportunity to work for some great advertising agencies and look at what they do and how they do it. And I said, we can do this on our own. I mean, it saves me $80,000, $90,000 a year by not having an ad agency. I have friends that are in agencies that I'll go pick their brains, you know, and but what have you. But we've been very fortunate. And we're real fortunate, in fact, that we have a leadership in the city of Bernie that believe in what we do.
Yeah.
And they let us do our job. And I'm having a time of my life. It's just a lot of fun.
Well, I so appreciate what you're doing statewide to really impact future leaders, mm-hmm. burgeoning leaders. Mm-hmm. And then locally, I think there is a lot of, what is this? Why does it work? I would encourage, if you're local to Bernie or in your local town at all, go pull the city reports. Understand where tourism plays a critical role in your tax base.
Sure.
And how it impacts your retailers and your small business. I think if you went and talked to those owners, they'd all say, oh, tourism's incredibly important. Here's why. And the everyday citizen, it's easy to drive down Main Street and forget about that and say, why are all these people here on Tuesday? Yeah. Well, you probably had something to do with it.
We got a lot of information, and I'm surprised more people don't come to us looking for it. You know, I'll leave a report with you that shows you how many people visited the Hill Country Mile
yeah.
in 2023 and where they came from and how long they stayed. You know, it's the information's fascinating to me. I think it was 14 years ago, I walked into Neiman Marcus and bought something, and the lady asked me for a phone number, and I gave it to her. And about 9 months later, I walked into Neiman Marcus, and my phone bumped, and I says, Mr. Woods, welcome back to Neiman's. Here's a couple of things we thought you might like. And I go, how the heck did they do that?
Yeah.
That's 14, 15 years ago. And I go, the information's out there. You know, and it's just taking it, looking at it, and understanding what you can do with it and what and how you can use it to benefit everybody. And I think that's where the secret is. You know, I want to put more people in restaurants and in more shops and obviously hotel beds. And our industry's changed. You know, you had mentioned the short-term rental industry. It's changed our industry. You know, talking about an industry disruptor, you know, somebody said, hey, we're going to start getting people, convince people to rent their houses out. It'll never work. Yeah, here I am, you know, $2 billion a year business. And, you know, same thing with Uber. So there's always new opportunities out there, but, you know, we enjoy, we have one of the short-term rental folks on our board, and fascinating guy, smart gentleman, and we've learned a lot from him on that industry.
And just for everybody to know, they pay hot tax, yes. And they're registered as a right. occupancy.
We get people that come in, and they'll say, hey, we want to visit here. I just bought a short-term rental house here. I'm going to rent it out. Can I put my brochures in your thing? And I go, have you registered with the city? No. I said, until you register with the city, and get you can't put anything in. We're not going to put you on our website, yep. what have you. And there's a benefit to it. Mm-hmm. And they quickly learn that, you know, it works.
So if I was a small business on a main street in any town, Texas, could I go to the CVB or the tourism group and say who's coming here and sure. get that data?
Yes.
Because it seems like I'd want to target my social media to that same
Absolutely.
Group.
Absolutely.
Oh, what a gift that I hope people are coming by and looking at that.
We don't share everything, but no, And again, you know, Tori from has done a couple of little seminars, I think, with the chamber on social media and how to reach people. I mean, I'm astounded at the reach that we can get. We did last summer. I've seen a little bit of a lull coming up, and so we need to bump up this month. And she put out a media wire on just did a story about Bernie.
Yeah,
places to eat, best burger, and the big cinnamon roll. You know, at Richter's.
Yep.
My God, that thing just went nuts. And I forgot 38 million people saw that in 2.5 weeks.
You never know what's going to hit.
No.
But you keep trying.
You keep trying.
And you keep purposeful and intentional about it.
It goes back to what Angela said. You got to find out who you're beautiful to. And you know, when you do, it certainly pays off.
Well, I so appreciate you spending time with me. I've learned a lot looking at all of this document, going through the conversation with you today, and I really want to encourage the everyday Texan to get involved and look at what is attracting people to your market. How is your city marketing out? Where are they marketing to? Those are all great inputs for us to understand. And mentoring across the country. Thank you for doing that, because what a service that is for a leader that's had 56 years in the industry, has seen it go from the World's Fair in San Antonio to where we are today, COVID and hurricanes and everything in between. That give back is really important. So I'm thrilled to know that that's the role that you're playing and representing Bernie in that way too. And then the team behind you. It's good to see that there is a plan for the future, and you've got up and coming rock stars that you're putting out there into it.
Well, we appreciate it. We have a tremendous product to sell.
Yeah,
we really do. And we're fortunate, and we're fortunate that our leadership lets us do what we need to bring people here. And as we get more people involved and the more people understand what we do, the more people we can help.
It's a team sport.
It is.
Come get involved. Larry, thank you so much for spending time with me today, and thank you for the way you're building Texas.
Well, thank you very much. It's been